Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. Part 2 of chapter of book 17. By the same way returned the well-taught boat by which it came, and made like haste, like speed. The friendly wind upon her sail that smote so turned as to return her ship had need. The youth sometimes the pole or bear did note, or wandering stars which dearest nights forth spread. Sometimes the floods, the hills, or mountains steep, whose woody fronts o'ershade the silent deep. Now of the camp the man the state inquires, now asks the conscious customs strange of sundry lands, and sailed till clad in beams and bright attires the fourth day's sun on the eastern's threshold stands. But when the western seas had quenched those fires, their frigate struck against the shore and sands. Then spoke their guide, "The land of Palestine this is. Here must your journey end and mine." The knight she set upon the shore all three, and vanished thence in twinkling of an eye. Uprose the knight, in whose deep blackness be all colours hid of things in earth or sky. Nor could they house or hold or harbour see, or in that desert sign of dwelling spy, nor track of man or horse, or aught that might inform them of some path or passage right. When they had mused what way they travel should, from the west shore their steps at last they twined, and lo, far off at last their eyes behold something, they wist not what, that clearly shined with rays of silver and with beams of gold, which the dark folds of night's black mantle lined. Forward they went, and marched against the light, to see and find the thing that shone so bright. High on a tree they saw an armor new, that glistered bright gainst Cynthia's silver ray. Therein, like stars in skies, the diamonds shew, fret in the gilden helm and hauberk gay. The mighty shield, all scored full, they view, of pictures fair, ranged in meet array. To keep them sat an aged man beside, who to salute them rose when them he spied. The twain who first were sent in this pursuit of their wise friend well knew the aged face. But when the wizard sage their first salute received and quitted had with kind embrace, to the young prince that silent stood and mute he turned his speech. "In this unused place for you alone I wait, my lord," quoth he. "My chiefest care your state and welfare be. For though you wot it not, I am your friend, and for your profit work, as these can tell. I taught them how Armida's charms to end, and bring you thither from love's hateful cell. Now to my words, though sharp perchance, attend, nor be aggrieved, although they seem too fell, but keep them well in mind, till in the truth a wise and holier man instruct thy youth. Not underneath sweet shades and fountains shrill, among the nymphs, the fairies, leaves and flowers, but on the steep, the rough and craggy hill, of virtue stands this bliss, this good of ours. By toil and travel, not by sitting still in pleasure's lap, we come to honor's bowers. Why will you thus in sloth's deep valley lie? The royal eagles on high mountains fly. Nature lifts up thy forehead to the skies, and fills thy heart with high and noble thought, that thou to heavenward I should lift thine eyes, and purchase fame by deeds well done and wrought. She gives thee ire, by which not courage flies to conquests, not through brawls and battles fought for civil jars, nor that thereby you might your wicked malice wreak and cursed spite, but that your strength spurred forth with noble wrath, with greater fury might Christ's foes assault, and that your bridal should with lesser scath each secret vice, and kill each inward fault. For so his godly anger ruled hath each righteous man beneath heaven's starry vault, and at his will makes it not now hot, now cold, now lets it run, now doth it fettered hold. Thus parleyed he. Rinaldo, hushed and still, great wisdom heard in those few words compiled. He marked his speech. A purple blush did fill his guilty cheeks. Down went his eyesight mild. The hermit, by his bashful looks, his will well understood, and said, "Look up, my child, and painted in this precious shield behold the glorious deeds of thy forefathers old. Thine elders' glory herein see and know, in virtue's path how they trod all their days, with whom thou art far behind, a runner slow in this true course of honour, fame, and praise. Up, up, thyself in sight by the fair show of knightly worth which this bright shield berays, that be thy spur to praise." At last the knight looked up, and on those portraits bent his sight. The cunning workman had in little space infinite shapes of men there well expressed, for there described was the worthy race and pedigree of all the house of Est. Come from a Roman spring, o'er all the place flowed pure streams of crystals, east and west. With laurel crowned stood the princes old, their wars the hermit and their battles told. He showed them Caius first, when first in prey to people strange the falling empire went. First prince of Est, that did the scepter sway o'er such as chose him lord by free consent. His weaker neighbors to his rule obey. Need made them stoop. Constraint doth force content. After, when Lord Honorius called the train of savage Goths into his land again, and when all Italy did burn and flame with bloody war by this fierce people mad, when Rome a captive and a slave became, and to be quite destroyed was most afraid, Aurelius, to his everlasting fame, preserved in peace the folk that him obeyed. Next was Forrest, who the rage withstood of the bold Huns and of their tyrant proud. Known by his look was Attila the Fell, whose dragon eyes shone bright with anger's spark, worse faced than a dog, who viewed him well, supposed they heard, saw him grin and heard him bark. But when in single fight he lost the bell, how through his troops he fled, there might you mark. And how Lord Forrest after fortified Aquileia's town, and how for it he died. For there was wrought the fatal end and fine, both of himself and of the town he kept. But his great son, renowned Acherine, into his father's place and honour stepped. To cruel fate, not to the Huns Altine, gave place, and when time served, again forth leapt, and in the vale of Po built for his seat of many a village a small city great. Against the swelling flood he banked it strong, and thence uprose the fair and noble town, where they of Est should by succession long command and rule in bliss and high renown. Gainst Odoacer then he fought, but wrong, oft spoilless fight. Fortune treads courage down, for there he died for his dear country's sake, and of his father's praise did so partake. With him died Alfarisio, Otso was with his dear brother into exile sent. But homeward they in arms again repass, the herald king oppressed, from banishment. His front through pierced with a dart, alas! Next them of Est the Epaminondas went, that smiling seemed to cruel death to yield, when Totila was fled, and safe his shield. Of Boniface I speak, Valerian, his son, in praise and power, succeeded him. Who durst sustain in years, though scant a man, of the proud Goths and 100 squadrons trim? Then he that gainst the slaves much honour won, Ernesto, threatening stood with visage grim. Before him Aldoard, the Lombard stout, who from Monselce boldly erst shut out. There Henry was, and Berengare the bold, that served great Charles in his conquest high, who in each battle give the onset would, a hardy soldier and a captain sly. After, Prince Louis did he well uphold against his nephew, King of Italy. He won the field, and took that king on live. Next him stood Otho, with his children five. Of Almeric the image next they view, Lord Marquis of Ferrara first create, founder of many churches that up through his eyes, like one that used to contemplate. Gainst him the second Otso stood in rue, with Berengarius that did long debate, till after often change of fortune stroke, he won, and on all Italy laid the yoke. Albert his son the Germans warred among, and there his praise and fame were spread so wide, that having foiled the Danes in battle strong, his daughter young became great Otho's bride. Behind him Hugo stood with warfare long, that broke the horn of all the Romans' pride, who of all Italy the Marquis hight, and Tuscan whole possessed as his right. After Tibaldo, puissant Boniface, and Beatrice his dear, possessed the stage. Nor was there left heir male of that great race to enjoy the sceptre, state, and heritage. The Princess Maud alone supplied the place, supplied the want in number, sex, and age. For far above each sceptre, throne, and crown, the noble dame advanced her veil and gown. With manlike vigour shone her noble look, and more than manlike wrath her face o'erspread. There the fell Normans, Guichard, there forsook the field, till then who never feared or fled. Henry the Fourth she beat, and from him took his standard, and in church it offered. Which done, the Pope back to the Vatican she brought, and placed in Peter's chair again. As he that honoured her and held her dear, Otso the Fifth stood by her lovely side. But the fourth Otso's offspring far and near spread forth, and through Germania fructified. Sprung from the branch did Guelpho bold appear, Guelpho his son by Cunegonde his bride, and in Bavaria's field transplanted new the Roman graft flourished, increased, and grew. A branch of Est there in the Guelphian tree engrafted was, which of itself was old, whereon you might the Guelphos fairer see, renew their sceptres and their crowns of gold, of which heaven's good aspects so bended be, that high and broad it spread and flourished bold, till underneath his glorious branches laid high half Germany, and all under his shade. This regal plant from his Italian root sprung up as high and blossom fair above, for nence Lord Guelpho, Bertold, issued out, with the sixth Otso, whom all virtues love. This was the pedigree of worthy stout, who seemed in that bright shield to live and move. Rinaldo waked up and cheered his face to see these worthies of his house and race. To do like acts his courage wished and sought, and with that wish transported him so far, that all those deeds which filled aye his thought, towns won, forts taken, armies killed in war, as if they were things done indeed and wrought, before his eyes he thinks they present are. He hastily arms him, and with hope and haste, sure conquest met, prevented, and embraced. But Charles, who had told the death and fall of the young Prince of Danes, his late dear lord, gave him the fatal weapon, and withal, "Young knight," quoth he, "take with good luck this sword. Your just strong valiant hand in battle shall employ it long for Christ's true faith and word, and of his former Lord of revenge the wrongs who loved you so that deed to you belongs. He answered, God, for his mercy's sake, grant that this hand which holds this weapon good, for thy dear master may sharp vengeance take, may cleave the pagan's heart and shed his blood. To this but short reply did Charles make, and thanked him much, nor more on terms they stood. For lo, the wizard sage that was their guide, on their dark journey haste them forth to ride. Aye, time it is, quoth he, for you to wend where God for you awaits, and many a night. There may we well arrive ere night doth end, and through this darkness can I guide you right. This said, up to his coach they all ascend. On his swift wheels forth rolled the chariot light. He gave his courser's fleet the rod and rein, and galloped forth, and eastward drove amain. While silent so through night's dark shade they fly, the hermit thus bespake the young man stout. Of thy great house, thy race, thine offspring high, here hast thou seen the branch, the bole, the root. And as these worthies, born to chivalry and deeds of arms, it hath tofore brought out, so is it, so it shall be fertile still, nor time shall end, nor age that seed shall kill. Would God, as drawn from the forgetful lap of antique time, I have thine elders shown, that so I could the catalogue unwrap of thy great nephews yet unborn, unknown, that ere this light they view, their fate and hap I might foretell, and how their chance is thrown, that like thine elders, so thou mightst behold thy children, many famous, stout, and bold. But not by art or skill of things future can the plain truth revealed be and told, although some knowledge, doubtful, dark, obscure, we have of coming haps in clouds uprolled. Nor all which in this cause I know for sure dare I foretell, for of that father old, the hermit Peter, learned I much, and he, withouten veil, heaven's secrets great doth see. But this, to him revealed by grace divine, by him to me declared, to thee I say, was never race Greek, barbarous, or Latine, great in times past, or famous at this day, richer and hardy knights than this of thine. Such blessings heaven shall on thy children lay, that they in fame shall pass, in praise o'ercome, the worthies old of Sparta, Carthage, Rome. But amongst the rest I chose Alphonsus bold, in virtue first, second in place and name. He shall be born when this frail world grows old, corrupted, poor, and bare of men of fame. Better than he none shall, none can or could, the sword or scepter use, or guide the same. To rule in peace, or to command in fight, thine offspring's glory and thy house's light. His younger age for tokens true shall yield of future valor, puissance, force, and might. From him no rock the savage beast shall shield. At tilt or tourney match him shall no knight. After he conquer shall in pitched field great armies, and win spoils in single fight. And on his locks, rewards for knightly praise, shall garlands wear of grass, of oak, of bays. His graver aged, as well that eld it fits, shall happy peace preserve and quiet blest, and from his neighbours strong, mongst whom he sits, shall keep his city safe in wealth and rest, shall nourish arts and cherish pregnant wits, make triumphs great, and feast his subjects best, reward the good, the evil with pains torment, shall dangers all foresee, and seen prevent. But if it hap against those wicked bands that sea and earth invest with blood and war, and in these wretched times to noble lands give laws of peace false and unjust that are, that he be sent to drive the guilty hands from Christ's pure altars and high temples far. Ah, what revenge, what vengeance shall he bring on that false sect and their accursed king? Too late the Moors, too late the Turkish king, 'gainst him should arm their troops and legions bold, for he beyond great Euphrates should bring, beyond the frozen tops of Taurus cold, beyond the land where is perpetual spring, the cross, the eagle white, the lily of gold. And by baptizing of the Ethiops brown, of aged Nile, reveal the springs unknown. Thus said the hermit, and his prophecy the prince accepted with content and pleasure. The secret thought of his posterity, of his concealed joys, heaped up the measure. Meanwhile the morning bright was mounted high, and changed heaven's silver wealth to golden treasure. And high above the Christian tents they view how the broad ensigns trembled, waved, and blew. When thus again their leader sage begun, "See how bright Phoebus clears the darksome skies! See how with gentle beams the friendly sun the tents, the towns, the hills and dales descries! Through my well-guiding is your voyage done, from danger safe in travel off which lies. Hence without fear of harm or doubt of foe, march to the camp, I may no nearer go." Thus took he leave, and made his quick return, and forward went the champions three on foot, and marching right against the rising morn, a ready passage to the camp found out. Meanwhile had speedy fame the tidings borne, that to the tents approached these barons stout, and starting from his throne and kingly seat, to entertain them, rose Godfredo great. End of Book 17.